You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The world's major central banks have been in a peloton formation, if I may borrow a phrase from cycling, and it's been a while since there's been anything but upward moves. Now, Sweden and Switzerland, I think it was, recently cut, but they're not the major ones. The major ones have held firm at higher rates. The ECB's rate has been 4% for a while, which is a record high, but today the European Central Bank, under the stewardship of Christine Lagarde, decided to cut rates by 25 basis points to 3.75%. With me now is John Stopford, head of multi-asset income at 91 in London. How significant is this, John?
Well, it marks a turning point for European interest rates, so I would say it is significant. I think central banks around the world are sort of trying to find their way. They're trying to balance concerns that inflation is still above target with also concerns that if they keep policy tight for too long, they risk a sharper economic slowdown. So Christine Lagarde was keeping her cards pretty close to her chest today. But I think it is significant.
Yeah, I don't think she wants to make the same mistake as the ECB is perceived to have done when the rates started rising. In other words, they were late coming to the rate rising party. So they've broken the mold. They've taken a break from the peloton and off they go. Will this sort of jolt other central banks to hasten their cutting, do you think?
I think they're all thinking the same way broadly. The timing reflects the individual circumstances. It is pretty likely that we'll see rate cuts fairly soon in other areas. We obviously saw the Bank of Canada cut yesterday.
Yes.
The Bank of England people are assuming are probably going to cut in August. So I think we're at the beginning of a process. The one at the back of the queue, probably amongst the rate hikers, previous rate hikers, is the Fed. And they're just trying to judge whether the sticky inflation data they saw at the beginning of the year and the relatively strong economic activity is more than they would like to see, and it postpones rate cuts indefinitely, or whether it's just a temporary blip and they'll join the rest of the pack later this year. We tend to lean more to the latter than the former.
There's obviously a difference between Eurozone inflation, the Eurozone economy, employment, everything else, than that of the United States. Do you think the United States' relatively robust performance is showing a few signs of cooling, but it's still relatively robust? Do you think that will allow it to still go on its own and wait a little bit longer?
Well, the US will always do its own thing. I'm not sure that the inflation story is that different. So most of the big difference in inflation is down to rental inflation, which isn't included in the European measure. So if you looked at them on a like-for-like basis, actually inflation is very similar. The bigger difference has been economic activity. So the US has been relatively strong coming out of the sort of post-pandemic period, so particularly the second half of last year, whereas Europe and the UK and others have been pretty weak. But there's a bit of convergence going on, as you point out. So generally, we think the strongest forces are really disinflationary forces. We think economic slack in places like Europe and in the US, we've seen a big boost in labor supply. So there's more people coming into the job market than are being hired. And so you're seeing downward pressure generally on wages. And we think that that creates a fairly benign backdrop for the US. Generally, central banks still think that having raised rates to the extent they did, rates are restrictive. And if they keep them where they are as inflation falls, they'll in effect be tightening. And so I think they are all looking for an opportunity to cut rates unless it's proven that view's wrong. And that view could be proved wrong either because inflation just stays much, much higher, or growth remains persistently robust and suggests that actually policy isn't that tight.
She said we are now in a dialing back phase. That was her phrase. She said that in 2025, inflation would come close to her target or the ECB's target. Is it usually the case, John, when a trend starts to emerge, as it did after 2019, in other words, rate rises across the board for the major central banks, it kept going on and on. When they cut, can we expect a long-term cutting cycle now?
I mean, I think a reasonable one, yes. So it will come down to how far inflation falls and what happens to growth, whether it slows materially in the sort of over the next year or so. I think the big challenge for central banks is they have basically got to a point where they don't really trust their own forecasts. They're not sure they can actually forecast growth or inflation. And so they're reliant on data. The data that they're particularly concerned about is things like service sector inflation, which is a lagging indicator. So they're trying to set policy essentially by looking backwards and potentially looking backwards quite a long way. By the time service sector inflation changes, lots of underlying processes in the economy will have already changed. And the danger is by basing policy on the past, on data that's basically telling you what's happened, and knowing that policy actually acts with a lag in the future, you've got a massive timing issue that you're almost certainly going to get it wrong. And there's a pretty good chance you'll keep policy too tight for too long because you're focused on something that's slow moving and pretty lagged and historic.
Finally, John, you were obviously anticipating it. Well, I'm not saying obviously, I'm putting words in your mouth, but I would imagine that you're anticipating this move. So therefore, your strategies won't have to be rejigged sort of in an emergency style, if you like. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually had been reducing exposure to European bonds going into this because it seemed to us that particularly towards the end of last year, markets generally had got too excited. And in the case of Europe, you were beginning to see some evidence that growth was picking up rather than slowing down. In the US, it's slightly different. The market sold off pretty dramatically earlier this year on the back of some less good inflation data and the concerns that growth was too strong. And both of those we felt were overdone. So we essentially have been adding bond exposure in the US and cutting it in Europe. If we get a big enough reaction to the ECB's caution today, so they did cut rates, but they said they're not pre-committing to further rate cuts, they're going to be data dependent. If we get a big enough negative reaction in the bond market to that, we might do a bit the other way.
John, thank you very much for your time. John Stopford is head of multi-asset income at 91 in London. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.